Heads down, ready to pray. That's right. But first, welcome to our podcast.
Bless singleness.
BS podcast.
Yeah. Hello, my name's Jerry.
Hello, I'm Meredith.
Hello, I am Charity.
And together, we already told you what we do. We make. We already said that part. But welcome to us.
To the conversation
that we are having. We're glad that you are here.
This is our theme song. I don't know if she had to record it first.
Oh,
okay. Hit it.
Right? This is our theme song.
Well, bless.
You're so talented. So let's kick it off with the word to Jesus.
Let's pray. Yeah. Lord, thank you so much that we can come into this time and discuss these topics that are so heavy on all of our hearts, Lord. And these are conversations that need to be had. We ask that you would be in and through everything that we say today, Lord, and that you would use it to encourage and motivate others as well as ourselves. We love you so very much. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I'm apologizing because I've got the giggles just a little bit because Charity's cat is in the room and she's asleep and she's snoring. So every once in a while, I just hear a little bit of,
I thought it was somebody's stomach, but it's the cat. Oh, she's giving us a look now.
Yeah.
At least she's sitting over there quietly and not being distracting. So that's
I'm being distracted.
You're the distraction.
It's me. Jeez Louise.
Focus on the podcast, Jerry. Yeah, sorry, forget about the cat.
Okay. So our first question. Well, our question for today.
It's not our first question ever. We've asked a few.
We've had a few. Point. Should there be a singles ministry at all in the church? Thoughts?
Go.
I'm going to say that I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think that it is a bad thing to have singles gather together. I just think there could be better ways of pouring into singles' lives and what that looks like in terms of how we... Because we've talked, I think in the very first episode, we talked about how segregating it is, even in terms of how they segregate singles, mm-hmm. whether it's by age groups, you know, whatever decade you're in, or, you know, whether you're a divorced single or whether you are older single or whatever that is. I just think that, I don't know. I think it's a really hard question because I do think we need a spot where there's some focus on us, mm-hmm. just like every other demographic.
And how do you know who else is single to reach out? I mean, we talk about
this is true.
Wanting to rely on each other and feeling comfortable enough to reach out to each other when we need them. How do we know who those people are mm-hmm. if there's not some sort mm-hmm. of gathering or some sort of recognition of this is another single person, why don't you meet them and mm-hmm. you guys can build a relationship and trust mm-hmm. on that. I think a friend of ours, Diane, had come and she was listening to the podcast and she goes, you know, there's a community that doesn't mean it has to be a class. It doesn't mean that you are in a Sunday school class that you are, you know, separated from the rest of the church, mm-hmm. but there still can be that community that is built on and that is connected.
Well, and I do think it's interesting because we recently got a question from a listener about whether or not pastors and teachers should actually preach and teach a message about singleness. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's interesting because how many times do I sit and listen to a message on mothers? How many times do I sit and listen to a message on fathers? Mm-hmm. You know, whether it be Mother's Day, Father's Day, or family, mm-hmm. or children, mm-hmm. raising children. But yet, nobody wants to sit and listen to a lesson on how to be single, how to do that well, how mm-hmm. to live that out well, when we have so many examples in the Bible. Numero uno, Jesus.
I mean, mic drop. So he's a pretty good
essentially
example.
Essentially, what you're saying is any lesson that is given on Jesus is a lesson on singles.
Oh, so well, yeah, that kind of deflates my point, doesn't it? I gotcha.
So I say there's a ton of sermons about singleness.
I'm picking up what you're laying down.
But also, how cool
cool was it that you just said a listener sent in a question? That was kind of fun.
I know, yeah, right? Thanks for that, by the way.
Thank you, Sharon Keegan.
But yeah, I mean, how would a church handle that, though? Like, with the idea that, would there be enough singles in the congregation to have that sermon?
Well, here's the thing, though. We're having a conversation that is technically singleness. Mm-hmm. And several people who are married, have kids, have already found themselves in the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true.
So maybe it's more of an issue of, do we focus on the season you're in, or do we focus on the one we're learning about? And then we let those friendships and conversations happen. I mean, not that that's not great, and not that, you know, I don't honor mothers and fathers and children. Mm-hmm. I'm a child. I mean, of a mother and a father.
I love my mother and father.
So, you know, I mean.
Because, I mean, we're not saying take away those things.
No.
We're just saying add to them.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, we want to honor
right.
these important individuals yeah. in, mm-hmm. in the congregation. Yeah. But that should also yeah. include.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, exactly. Because how often has a pastor said something about, and, you know, moms, I know you're tired this morning. Mm-hmm. You're working, you know, and when it's like, hey, singles, anybody?
I know you're tired too.
Yeah,
you're busy.
That's you're working hard.
This single over here had to pull in her stove by herself.
I did. It's hard work so being
come
single.
On. Come so, on. Yeah. Yeah, but Charity, talk about your single, because
yeah.
your single community, because you love it.
I do.
And you're very active in it and you're very committed to it. So what do you feel like they do specifically that has made you more drawn to it versus not wanting to be a part of it, basically? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What have they done right?
The biggest difference that I noticed immediately, and this is not my final answer because there is a whole reason that's caused me to stay, but initially it was just, it wasn't a meat market, which is what Meredith and I had experienced in our other mm-hmm. church. I had men who, I was in my early 20s, men in the early 30s, were like mid-30s actually, were calling and asking me out. And I just, at the time, it just made me super uncomfortable because I was just trying to go to Sunday school, mm-hmm. you know. And when I first started being a part of the singles community at my current church, it was just people in the same walk of life hanging out together and having fun. There was no pressure. Now, relationships come out of that, but we were just enjoying each other's company mm-hmm. as a group, and it was fun. But what's caused me to stay is very similar to what Diane shared with us that you just mentioned, in that we don't have a Sunday school class that is a singles class. We have developed a community, just like she was saying. So we will have events here mm-hmm. and there. Mm-hmm. We will every once in a while do a Sunday evening service where we have some sort of panel discussion, or one of the pastors of the church come in and speak. Or like in the panel discussions, we will have people who are married. We'll have people who are widowed. We'll have people who are divorced. We'll have people who are still not married at all. And so you get all sorts of perspectives mm-hmm. So we're very encompassing of everybody in every walk of life. Which I think is what we're getting at with
yes.
wanting singles is we want to be a part of everybody else's walks of life, just like we want them to be a part of ours. We want mm-hmm. there to be a mutual understanding, a mutual love, a consistent learning from each other. You know, you can totally learn from someone who's older and married and has mm-hmm. kids that are grown, or, you know, someone who's married and has young kids. If you sit and listen to somebody and just hear where they're coming from, you can always relate to them in some
yeah.
way.
Yeah. You know? And, you know, I'm kind of thinking, like, as I'm thinking back on our experiences in, like, a singles Sunday school class, and how I really think the biggest error was for a lot of the time was who they had leading it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it would have been people that can't at all relate
yeah, that's
to
true.
Where we are.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And not to say that you even have to, but you have to have a certain empathy and an ear to who your audience is. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that they miss the mark
yeah.
Yeah.
so mm-hmm. much on that.
Yeah.
And I mean, bless them. It's not that they weren't mm-hmm. doing something good or that mm-hmm. they were trying to do something good for us, but it was just like, this,
yeah,
and I think that's a big difference with my church, is that we have singles leading it. And one of the women who's married, who's involved, didn't get married until she was in her mid-30s. And she still has such a heart for singles, and she understands what it's like to make it to your 30s and not be married.
Right.
And so she stays very involved in our mm-hmm. singles community and still continues to pour herself into us, even though she's married and has a kid
right.
now.
Yeah.
It's people who get it.
Yeah.
And that makes a big difference.
So, because you mentioned earlier that it was the first group that you had gone to that you felt like it wasn't a meat market. Yeah. You felt that it wasn't a let's get you married, let's get you set up.
Yeah.
Is there a distinctive reasoning behind you noticing that, or was it just a feeling you had when you went in there?
Yeah, it was just a feeling. And this was kind of across the board with the church, period. I just was genuinely loved by every person I met. You know, when I first started going there, you know, I've mentioned before, I'm an introvert. So I would just try to sit there and quietly, like, maybe sit in a corner and work on my Bible study lesson that I was behind on, and which is what I used to do at our other church. I could do that and people wouldn't bother me. Mm-hmm. At this church, you couldn't sit there without someone coming up and being like, hey, that's how are awesome. You? Welcome. Yeah. And they're just talking to you. And so after 2 or 3 weeks, I just gave up trying to do anything, which, you know, and the introvert in me was like, I can't come here and do this. But then I so quickly was replaced with, but how amazing is that I'm being loved, I'm being approached, I'm being included. Mm-hmm. And that's just how the church...
And it
church...
wasn't in a creepy hit on you sort
no,
of
way. No, not yeah. at all. Exactly. It was just people genuinely wanting me to feel welcome and to feel a part yeah. of this church family. Mm-hmm. And it made me get drawn in so quickly. I mean, I had... one girl that I'd been friends with for a long time that went there, and Philip, who we had on, I'd known him not well, but I had known him previous to coming to the church. And both of them, very quickly after I started going there and became a member, were both like, we have to get Charity on the leadership team. And then they pulled me in to be on the singles community leadership team, which, I mean, that right there was such an affirmation to me. And it encompassed me in that community and in the church even more, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, and it really sounds like, and I'm wondering if this is more the case, because I know you've talked to me about how, like, prayer is such a big part of your group and, yeah. well, and your church in general. And I wonder if it's more so that through prayer and just being conscientious about it, if y'all have created an environment. Mm. Because I think that's what it is. Because you can walk into, like, for example, the fact that there were men there who were much older than us mm-hmm. hitting on us.
Yeah.
And calling and asking.
One called me at work. Like, he looked at
yeah,
my
like
work number.
He found you. And I'm like, I wonder if that's because the environment mm. yeah. was not fostering this. We're pursuing Jesus.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, we're oh, not yeah. pursuing mm-hmm. you finding someone here.
Yeah.
Which not that that would be awesome.
Great.
Right. That would be
but
awesome.
But we're not going to focus on it.
But that's yeah. not yeah. the environment that we are building
yeah.
here.
Yeah. That might be the bottom line of what it is, because our community is you focus on Jesus. Mm-hmm. You focus on what he's calling you to do. You focus on loving on others and loving your brothers in Christ, loving your mm-hmm. sisters in Christ. And if God brings something out of that, amazing. If not, we love you and we're going to pray with you until God does bring someone yeah. into your life, yeah. you know?
And so I really do wonder if, first of all, it is praying that God will bring the right leadership.
Yes. Sure, yeah.
Into sure. the picture. And then it is, you know, just pouring prayer over what it should look like. And then I think that those of us that struggle with the way that the church has handled it, praying as to what our role is
mm-hmm. yeah.
in and that.
Yeah. How we can be the change.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I get that, because you went into this church and it had already been, that had already been established mm-hmm. and the environment had already been established.
Yeah.
So what would be a way to change an already, not, I don't want to say poorly established
yeah.
singles community, but one where it does already feel like it's a meat market. Mm-hmm. One where it does already feel like it's not focused on Jesus. How would someone walk in and try and be that change? Like, how do you change that environment if it's already there?
You know, how this started at my church, the woman who I mentioned, who is married now with a kid, she was in her 30s, single, and just had a burden on her heart for singles. Like, it was something she couldn't get past. So she started approaching the church leadership saying, asking questions like, can we get a singles community started? What can we do? Come to find out, there was another man who was single in his 30s, who was having the same burden on his heart and had been talking to the leadership about the same thing. So they got them connected, and those two started working together to start the singles community at the mm-hmm. church. And you know, through prayer and through God guiding it, it's become what it is today. And that's her husband. She ended up marrying him. So go figure, that worked out uh-huh. great. You know, but I love that God was burdening her heart and burdening someone else's heart. And they started asking the leadership in the church, they got connected and were able to start and grow mm-hmm. this beautiful thing that's ministered to so many of us now.
So, but they established that from the beginning, like mm-hmm. that environment
it wasn't
that
already.
About.
Yeah,
it wasn't already existing. So, let's
that's
say
true.
Meredith,
good point.
in your church, mm-hmm. how would you, or is there a way? Can you think of one to change the environment that's already been established. Yeah.
Which, as a disclaimer, I have not been a part of the singles ministry for many a year. I left that early in my, probably mid-20s.
We probably left about the same time.
Yeah, because it was nothing that I wanted to be a part of. And again, I'm not bashing my church for that. And obviously, I didn't want to make a change, so I just decided to leave it. But I think that, first of all, anything starts with prayer. I know that we talk about that a lot, but I really do think that if you're burdened for the singles ministry that's in your church and you want to see change, first of all, recognize that's a burden God's placed on my heart, absolutely, just like what you said.
Absolutely.
And so if it's a burden that's on me, I need to start praying that God will bring change, and then I need to ask God what role he wants me to play.
Mm-hmm. And then having conversations about it.
And then I do think, you know, because I'm sitting here wondering, like, who even was anybody telling church leadership at the time when I was so did not enjoy that at all? Mm-hmm. Was anybody going to church leadership saying, yeah, so this is not working?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's about
can't change anything if they don't know.
Right. And and it's like, they may have not even known that, wow, this is not going well.
Right.
And so I do think that you pray about it first and then you start having those conversations. Even if there's already an established group there, mm-hmm. you know, because sometimes people take on a role in ministry in a church they never should have had.
Yeah.
Or they're supposed to have it for that particular season, but then someone else is supposed to rise up and take that spot. Mm-hmm. So you can't just sit back like I did, because I'm saying that I did not do the right thing of just leaving, of that if it's something that I wanted to change, then it should have been something that I pursued changing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think it all starts with prayer, and then you let God guide you as to what your action needs to be. Mm-hmm. But I would say having a conversation with church leadership is at the top of that list. And if that's shut down, then keep praying about it. You know?
Because if God's laying it on your heart, surely he's laying it some other hearts too.
That's right.
And as you keep praying and keep having conversations about it, you guys are going to find each other.
And who's to say you're not supposed to start a Bible study on your own?
There you go.
That grows from there.
That's true.
You know, to where just a group of you get together and you meet and you share life and it grows. But it starts with a burden, usually on one person's heart, and then it connects with another and then another and another and another, and it builds. And then in the meantime, I'm thinking, like, if I were still a part of a singles class that I was, well, and I mean, like, I'm actually getting ready to make a move, like actually relocate. And I know it's terrible, but it's God's will.
Yeah.
But it's God's will.
No. It's going to be good.
Wonderful.
We've already proclaimed the blessing.
Yes. Don't worry. We're going to do everything to keep Mary a part of this podcast. Don't you worry.
Yeah. But one of the things that I'm thinking about is that, like, how am I going to find a community that I can really embrace and enjoy? And, I mean, it's a very daunting thing. And, you know, one of the things that I've thought about, too, because I think when I was younger, of course, I got over it really quick, but when I was younger, I wanted to be around singles more. And I don't know did y'all feel like that you felt that way? Like in terms of looking for, like, because when I first moved here, I was like, well, I mean, I start with the singles group, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Start with that ministry and get involved there.
Yeah, honestly, I think in my early 20s, I did too. Because you're going to naturally gravitate to people who are in the same walk of life as you.
I mean, that's essentially a big reason why I left the church that I did a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't have someone who, or they didn't have a group that I felt where I belonged.
Yeah.
But then having moved to the church that I'm in now, it doesn't really have a distinctive singles group, but I still feel more a part of the community.
Yeah.
And not to say, I mean, the church that I went to has a lot of great things, and but it very much caters to small families, younger families, young kids, and young couples. And so it's interesting because there was a very distinctively not a place for me at that church. And there's not really a place for me at the new church. Mm-hmm. But because there's not a split up group in that in the new church, I still feel a part mm-hmm. of the church as a whole.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But that's not to say that if there were a single community that formed, that I wouldn't want to be a part of it, because I would want to know
right
what those other people were.
Because it's how do you find them? This, I got to share, this is funny. As someone who was on the leadership team for the singles community, we would, if we had events coming up, we would have a booth out in the main walkway and we'd be handing out flyers. And there's this constant discussion of, how do you know which people are single? Like, it's so awkward trying to hand out stuff and invite people because it's hard. So you do a quick, like, ring check to find out if they, but that doesn't, you know, always mean anything. But my one friend, Lanisha, I hope you're listening. She was the best. She would take a handful of flyers, go out to one of the doors and be like, are you single? Here. Are you single? No, you don't get to come. Are you single? Like, she just would just boldly do it. And I was just like, I need to be bold like you. Like, yeah. She just, mm-hmm. it was so, she would come back and be like, I need more flyers. And I still gave out maybe two. I was like, how are you doing this? That's awesome. It was amazing. Yeah.
Just ask the question.
Just ask the question. Mm-hmm. That's all she did. She just asked.
Don't be embarrassed or scared.
No. Mm-mm. It's not something that we need to be embarrassed about. I fight that because obviously I was sitting there going, ring check, okay, hi, yeah, we're the singles community, you know.
Yeah.
We don't need to be embarrassed about that.
Yeah.
There's no reason to be.
Mm-mm. Well, and I think if there's no embarrassment about it, you feel a part, it's because you feel a part of the church. You know, you don't feel, I don't feel embarrassed to say that I'm single because I don't feel like it's going to be, oh, well, you need to go over this direction or in this corner. Yeah, you know, it's, are you single? I'm single.
Let's be friends.
Of, yeah. You know?
It's, yeah.
You're not single? Okay, we can still be friends, but this event really isn't for you.
Yeah. You probably don't want to
come. We can
to
still
this.
Be friends about it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Totally. Totally.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, that's really cool. That's.
But it is kind of sounding like, and I mean, this is obviously kind of the, well, it is the modern church because it's the most recent history, right?
Yes.
We are living in the
modern
church. The modernist church ever. Yes. Yes. But it's sounding more to me like that maybe what's outdated is the Christian Sunday school class.
Maybe.
Like the singles class.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the part that's outdated. And that to have a community that meets and does events and then they can form their own groups based off of that.
Gives you more... And it gives you an easier way to interact with somebody and get to know somebody.
And it also takes the pressure off. Like, I could not imagine, especially if I were married and had kids and I was trying to lead a singles group, how to come up with lessons.
Yeah.
I mean, and so it's like it takes the pressure off the church to be like, well, we need to get someone in here that can teach this class and that can, you know...
Understand where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe that's a great way to get, if there isn't a single Sunday school class, maybe that enables the singles to get into Sunday school classes with people in other walks of life.
Yeah.
Just like what you were sharing, Jerry. I don't know if it was today or in some other episode. They're all kind of blending together in my mind. But you made that point that your Bible study group is one that is married, singles. Like you have all types in there and you learn from each other because of that. And maybe that would help foster that.
Mm-hmm. It's also, I think, nice to be connected with non-singles in a Sunday school class because it's nice to know that while the single community supports the single community, the married community supports the single community.
Mm-hmm. And we support the marrieds and
exactly.
people with kids.
Yeah.
And
I think
that is.
It's about creating a community in the church within singles, but then also creating a community in the church among everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I don't think that the early church was necessarily, I mean, they were the church.
Yeah, one unit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, of course, I mean, I don't know how it worked. They might have sent kids off somewhere else.
Or men and women might have been.
Yeah, that was probably the case. Although, like, you know, I'm in Acts and I just read how Paul and Silas, when they came upon Lydia. So they actually worshipped with her and the group of women that were there. Oh, and then she actually offered them a home and a place to stay while they were there.
Yeah.
In Philippi. So it's just really neat, like, because you see those moments in Because, I mean, there she was, a woman who didn't have a whole lot of say in society to mm-hmm. begin with, and yet she started, helped start the church there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's pretty incredible.
So, yeah, I mean, so it's not like God didn't use women back then in spite of the way the world was.
Right.
Right. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hold, please, Jerry. We have to video you sing.
Are we ready? Mm-hmm. And now we segue into our sharing corner.
Well done.
Thanks. I've had experience.
Okay. So welcome to the sharing corner.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. So this is, what do we decide this was? A parable?
Sure.
What is it called when an animal talks?
Is it Aesop's Fable?
A Disney movie?
I don't know. I didn't know there was a...
Of course, that was a thing. I mean, animals talked in the Bible, remember?
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know what it was called. I don't know why you're asking me that.
But well, they were real-life things. They weren't parables. Well, yeah,
but okay, parables. But what is this? Well, it is like a parable, a story
yeah.
that makes
a point.
Illustrates okay. a truth.
Illustrates an illustration. I'm sorry, you guys.
Don't be sorry. We love it.
Apparently, a lot of these conversations we should have off mic. So this is a story that my mom shared with me, that her pastor shared, and I thought that it was pretty powerful. So there was a man who was trying to get to a destination, as so many of us are, and he came to this very large mountain, but he couldn't figure out a path, like the best path to climb it and to get over it. And so a snake comes along and looks at the guy and says, so you need to get across this mountain. And the guy was like, well, yeah. He said, if you will pick me up and carry me, then I will show you which path you should take. And I will show you how you can get over the mountain. And the guy looked at him and said, no, I'm not going to pick you up. If I pick you up, you're going to bite me because you're a snake. And the snake said, no, I promise. I will not bite you. Just trust me. If you pick me up, I will show you the way to go. So the guy picks him up, and indeed the snake showed him the best path to take and got him up the mountain and over the mountain. Up and over.
Over and over. The mountain was taken.
It was. It was accomplished. And so as soon as they got to the other side, the snake bit the man. And the man looked at the snake and said, you promised me that you were not going to bite me. And the snake looked at him and said, you knew what you were picking up. That's a lesson on sin.
Amen and God bless.
God bless.
Hey guys, we'd love for you to join in on the conversation with any discussion points or questions you might have. So follow us on Instagram, BS_podcast, or like us on Facebook, Bless Singleness Podcast. See you later.
I don't know, I feel like I have to say something.
You don't have to say something.
But it makes me nervous. Can you cut that blessed part out?
No, I love it so much. It's staying in forever.